So we are continuing our discussion about the mitzvahs of Seif Shabbos, and today we will discuss Kiddush B'Makom Suda from Perek Arvei Psachim. There's machlokas whether or not you need Kiddush B'Makom Suda. We paskin like Shmuel that you do need to be Mekadesh in the Makom of the Suda, and we're going to talk about the details of that momentarily. Why would you need Kiddush B'Makom Suda? So Rashbam offers two possibilities. The first is based off of the pasuk, the karasa l'shabbos oneg b'makom shata kore l'shabbos, which is kiddush sham tehei oneg. So the pasuk implies that the kriya l'shabbos, kiddush is a form of kriya l'shabbos, and that's true apparently even for kiddush by yom, where you don't actually have to mention Shabbos. So that should be in the place of oneg. And the second possibility that Rashbam suggests is it's a svara. Mide'ikba kiddush al hayayin, mistam al hayayin shebishas su'uda hukba dechashiv. That kiddush, we are koveh kiddush al hayayin, which yayin? Any yayin? No, chashiv yayin. And what's chashiv yayin? Yayin shel ha-su'uda. It's more obvious why that second explanation would make sense for kiddush bayom, which is only a bari priya gafen. The Gemara asks, if you need kiddush b'makom suda, then why do we make kiddush in the Beis HaKnesses? If you hold like Rav, so then there's no, it makes sense why you make kiddush b'Beis HaKnesses. For anyone who was eating, then you wouldn't have to make kiddush again at home unless there were people at home who didn't hear kiddush. But if there's no kiddush, if you hold in kiddush makom suda, elu b'makom suda, so why would you need to make kiddush in the Beis HaKnesses? So the Gemara answers, because there are guests that eat and drink and sleep in the shul. For them, you are mekadesh. And even though the person making the kiddush is not actually going to be eating in the shul or drinking in the shul, that's not an issue. Because he's motzi those that need to. Now, the question that we're going to address now is whether or not we should still make kiddush in our shuls, because generally speaking, in our shuls, there are not people who eat and drink and sleep in a shul, certainly not Friday night kiddush. Nobody's going to eat in a shul. Everybody's going to go home and eat. And therefore, you're not really accomplishing anything with this Kiddush B'Beis HaKnesses, so should we still make this? So this question was already addressed by the Rishonim, and there are more or less three approaches to this question. The first approach, the easiest to understand, is the approach of Tosfos on Daf Kuf Amud Beis, Diba Maschil Yedei, the Rush over here in Arvei Psachim, the Tur, Rabbeinu Yerucham, Rav Haigon, and they all said, you shouldn't be Mekadesh B'Beis HaKnesses anymore. It's a brach levatala, or it's karv lebrach levatala. There's no reason to make kiddush and shul. In fact, it's also to make kiddush and shul if it's not accomplishing anything. However, a number of Rishonim defend the minhag, and those that defend it fall into two schools of thought. There are more than two opinions, but I think we could divide them into two schools of thought. The view of the Rashba, Rabbeinu David, the Ran, the Maram Chalava, the Sefer HaMichtam, is that you should still do it because there was a takana. They made a takana to make kiddush in the Beis HaKnesses. And even though the reason for the takana is no longer relevant, the takana continues to stay in its place. They give an example of this. Me'ein Sheva. The reason for Me'ein Sheva, that's the abridged version of Chazar Sashatz that we do after Shmoneh Esrei Friday night. The reason for that is no longer Shayach, but we still, everybody says Me'ein Sheva. Or along similar lines, the Michtam says, we continue to say Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen. The reason for that is also no longer relevant, equally, and yet we do it. So the answer is that it's a takana. It's a takana. It could be that Tosfos thinks it's not a takana. They never made a takana to make kiddush at shul Friday night. That was the practice for practical reasons. But at the very least, the Rabbeinu David And the Ran, they say, no, it was actually a takana. And the takana therefore stays even if the reason isn't relevant. It's sort of interesting, but perhaps those who do say Kiddush and Shul Friday night, the placement of Kiddush suggests that it's a takana and not just a minhag, which makes sense because we do it if we do it. And what do I mean the placement? That we do it before Aleinu. In other words, we include it as part of davening. If it was just a practical thing, oh, if there are guests here, we'll make Kiddush for them. So then there's no reason to do it in the middle of davening before Aleinu. You would do it after davening, Lamashal. Kiddush during the day at shuls, even if they make Kiddush in shul, right? I've seen a number of shuls where the rabbi makes Kiddush in shul during the day for the people that are going to eat at the Kiddush. We'll talk about in a couple of minutes whether that's a problem if the Kiddush is in a different room. But either way, nobody makes Kiddush during the day before Aleinu. Nobody makes Kiddush during the day before end of davening. You make Kiddush after davening, because that Kiddush is clearly just a practical Kiddush. However, the Friday night Kiddush, for those that say it, the fact that it's included in davening maybe suggests that it was a takana. Now, Ken, it was a takana that was originally motivated because there were guests in the shul, but they didn't just say, well, if there's a need, you should do it, but rather they made this a takana, and they even made it as part of tefillah, and that's why we should continue to say. The Lashon Rabbeinu David is, Achshav she'ein minhag ha'orchem lecho b'beis ha'knesses nagu l'kadesh b'takanas harishonim. And he compares it to Main Shabbat. The Michtam is a little more ambiguous, because originally he says it was a minhag, miminhag chachamim harishonim, but then he later calls it a takana as well. And as I said, he compares it to Me'ein Sheva, he compares it to Baruch Hashem Li'olam, and he even compares it, he says, one of the reasons why we don't get rid of it is because it's a very positive thing to be Mekadesh Hashem Berabim, Yesh B'zeh Pirsum Gadol V'Kiddush Hashem V'Oda L'Shmo Yisborach V'Makhelos K'dechsiv V'Makhelos Baruch Hu Elokim. And then he even compares this to the fact that we make the bracha on Neros Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses, Kedei Lefarsem HaNes Bifnei HaKol. So I think what he means is that this wasn't necessarily the reason for the original institution. The original institution was for the Orchim, like the Gemara states explicitly. What he means to say is, why did they make this as a takana? In other words, if it's just for the guests, so they should have just said it when there are guests eating in the shul. Why did they institute this as a takana kvua that therefore would apply even when there aren't guests? The reason is because it's such a beautiful idea to publicly sanctify God's name. So that's the second school of thought, that we should do it because it's a takana, even if it's not relevant. The third school of thought is Rabbeinu Yonah. This is quoted by the Rush. And Rabbeinu Yonah writes that you should continue to say it nowadays. And that is because there's a reason for saying it nowadays. Again, similar to the second school of thought, maybe most similar to the Michtam, but the Rush doesn't simply say, like Rabbeinu David, that we say it nowadays, even though there is no reason for it because it's a takana. But the Rush tries to show that there is a very important reason here to say it. And the reason is because not everybody knows how to make Kiddush at home. Hilkach, kevan sheyesh bnei adam sheinam yodim lakadesh, nagu lakadesh beveis haknesses, kedei sheyetsu yedei Kiddush min haTorah. But it's not going to be Makom Suda. In other words, these people are going to go home. They're not going to make Kiddush again. So he says, you're right. They're not going to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush b'Makom Suda. They're not doing things properly. But, l'chol ha'pachos, they should chop the mitzvah de'oraisa of Kiddush, even shelo b'makom suda. Now, it's sort of interesting because assuming that they said Shmona Esrei, they presumably were already in fulfillment of the mitzvah de'oraisa. So it would seem that the Rosh holds, no, that the, or sorry, Rabbeinu Yonah holds, that the mitzvah de'oraisa is Kiddush al Hayayin. You don't need Kiddush Makom Suda. You don't even necessarily need to drink that wine. Te'ima might be de'rabanan. Kiddush B'makom Suda might be de'rabanan. But Kiddush al Hayayin is de'oraisa. And therefore, to ensure those people that aren't going to make Kiddush at home, that they fulfill their mitzvah de'oraisa of Kiddush al Hayayin, so that is why we do it at Shul. So again, there are three schools of thought. According to Tosfos, you don't say Kiddush at all when there are no guests. According to Rabbeinu David, you say Kiddush even though there's no reason for it because that's the Takana. And according to Rabbeinu Yonah, you say Kiddush nowadays because there's an alternative reason for to help those people that aren't going to say Kiddush at home. Now, the Rush doesn't like Rabbeinu Yonah's explanation. And he asks two questions. He says, "V'hadika amar ein kiddush ala b'makom suda lo mashma k'perusho demashma she'eno kiddush klal." The lashon of the Gemara sounds like it's garnished. In other words, according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, at the very least, you fulfill your mitzvah de'oraisa of Kiddush al Hayayin. And the Rosh is saying, no, you don't fulfill anything. Now, that line is somewhat unclear. The way Rabbi Akiva Eger reads that line is that the Rosh is saying, you're not Yotze Kiddush b'makom suda de'oraisa, meaning to say that mid-de'oraisa you need Kiddush b'makom suda, and since you don't have that, you haven't accomplished anything at all. You didn't necessarily have to read the Rush that way. You could have simply said that the Rush understood that you're not, that Rabbeinu Yonah held that you do this because you fulfill Kiddush al Hayayin. Kiddush al Hayayin is derabanan. At least they could fulfill Kiddush al Hayayin. And he's saying, no, you don't fulfill Kiddush al Hayayin without Makom Suda. Rabbi Akiva Eger doesn't want to read it that way because the Rush sounds like he's saying you're not fulfilling Kiddush, you are fulfilling Kiddush de'oraisa when you do this, and you wouldn't if you didn't do this. And he's also assuming that L'chol HaPachos, they were Yotzei, Kiddush shelo al Hayayin is Shmona Esrei. So that's the way Rabbi Akiva Eger reads it. Others don't read the Rush that way. You could be, another way to get out of it was to assume that these people that don't know how to make Kiddush also didn't say Shmona Esrei. But anyway, that's question number one that the Rush asks. Question number two, the chen hadamar rabba v'kiddush tachalo nafkisu implies you're not Yotze at all. And then he says another question that it's against the Gemara's reason. The Gemara says that the reason for Kiddush and Shul is Lahotzi Mishenu Yodei L'Kaddish Beveso. And the Rabbeinu Yonah is giving a different reason. So we suggested maybe the answer is that Rabbeinu Yonah holds that this is an additional reason, not the only reason. Be that as it may, so those are the three schools of thought. So how do we paskin? Do we make Kiddush and Shul or don't we make Kiddush and Shul? So the Mechaber says that it's better not to make Kiddush and Shul. He does note that the minhag is to do so, not the minhag in Eretz Yisrael. He says the preferable thing is to follow the view of the Tosas and the Rosh. You shouldn't make Kiddush and Shul if there's no guests in Shul. The Magen Avraham says, no, you should be Mekayim the minhag. It was a Takana. The Rashba says you should be Mekayim the minhag. According to Magen Avraham, you should say Kiddush and Shul because of the Takana. The Gra says the reason why you should make Kiddush and Shul is for Rabbeinu Yonah's reasoning. So Bekitzer, Sfardim, generally speaking, don't make Kiddush and Shul following their view of the Mechaber. Many Ashkenazi shuls following the Gra, the Magen Avraham, the Mishneh Berurah, do make Kiddush in shuls. The Lashon of Magen Avraham is, Ein levatal aminu ki harbe ge'onim yasaduhu. So this is a very ancient minhag established by great people, and it shouldn't be abandoned. Now, the question that arises when you make Kiddush in shul is who drinks it? And this is especially a problem when there's no aniyim in the shul. So who is meant to drink the Kiddush in the shul? So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Hagos Maimonios that you should give it to children, which is in fact the common practice. You give children to drink. So the Beis Yosef, now why can't the adult drink it? The adult can't drink it because it's not Kiddush B'Makom Suda. And therefore it's usher to drink unless you're Yotze, you're Kiddush, and you're only Yotze, you're Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So the Beis Yosef says the adult may not drink because it's not Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So what do? You give it to a kid to drink. Now, then the Beis Yosef says, well, 1 second, that's not a good approach because, and we discussed this actually several weeks ago, we know that lo safinan, you're not allowed to give a child iser. And therefore, how could you give this kid something to drink? Just like it's usher for the adult to drink, so too it's usher for the kid to drink. You're not allowed to give. Now, you see something interesting, by the way. In asking this question, you see that it would be Sophia, even though you don't, you know, you just put it, you don't actually literally, you know, put the food in the kid's mouth. That too is considered Sophia, even though you just give it to the kid and the kid eats it on, drinks it on their own. That's against the simple reading of the Mordechai, but like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav's reading of the Mordechai, if you remember, when we did Melechas Kosev. So therefore, the Beis Yosef wants to know, why is there a problem of Sphia? So he answers first from the Hagos Maimonios that there's no din Sphia for mitzvahs aseh, only for a lav, like Nevelos and Trefos. After all, if you look actually, the source for Sphia in the Torah, it's all lavin. It's learned out from Skatzim Vermatzim and Tuma, as the Gemara Yivamo says, and therefore it wouldn't apply to a mitzvah saseh. For some reason, the Beis Yosef assumes what that actually means is it only applies for Nisir D'Oraisa, not a Nisir D'Rabbanan. Though that doesn't sound like what the Hagos Maimonios is saying. So therefore the Beis Yosef says, well, Bishlama, if you learn like the Rashba that there's no Sphia for Nisir D'Rabbanan, so eating before Kiddush is an Issa D'Rabbanan, so it's fine, you could give the kid. But if you hold like the Rambam, and the Beis Yosef says, we paskin like the Rambam, that you can't even give the kid an Issa D'Rabbanan, so why are you allowed to give the kid wine? So the Beis Yosef answers that must be that this minug assumes like the Sar Mikutzi. The Sar Mikutzi thinks, and we don't paskin like this, but we rely on it to give kids wine. The Sar Mikutzi thinks that there is no iser to drink the wine, even though this isn't the Kiddush that you're Yotze with. According to the Sar Mikutzi, it would be okay for the adult to drink a little bit of wine, and he'll go home and make Kiddush again. There'd be no iser of drinking the wine, even though it's not as Makom Suda. And we rely on the Sar Mikutzi to allow for children to eat, to drink. The Isser Sophia is a little more kal, and that's the basis of our leniency. Now, it's very interesting that the Beis Yosef's even bothered by this question. Maybe you would have said that Isser, all right, we'll leave it at that. So
are we relying on it's only an Isser Aseh instead of a Lav? Or are we not relying on that?
Well, no. The Beis Yosef doesn't want to rely on that because he thinks it only makes sense for the Rashba, not the Rambam. Uh-huh. It could be it's a Siruf. In other words, first of all, we have the idea that it's only a Mitzvah Saseh. And second of all, when we say Mitzvah Saseh, it's an Isser that stems from the Mitzvah Saseh of Kiddush. I assume is what the Hagos Maimonios means. In other words, the reason why you can't drink before Kiddush is because there's a mitzvah saseh to make Kiddush. But again, the Beis Yosef doesn't want to rely on that on its own. So that's why he's mitzarif the shita, the sarmikutzi, who says anyway, drinking the wine would be okay. And even though we don't paskin like that sarmikutzi, we'll rely on it to allow you to give the children. Then the Beis Yosef says that what should you do if there's no kids around in shul? So the Beis Yosef says, what you should do is give it, the adult should drink a revius and rely on the opinion of the Gaonim. We're going to get to this in just a couple of minutes. The Gaonim hold that Kiddush Bakum Sud is accomplished with wine as well, as long as you drink a revius. So if the Mekadesh in shul drinks a whole revius of wine, then that would be Kiddush B'makom Su'uda for him, and he'd be yotei his mitzvah of Kiddush. Technically speaking, he would go home. He wouldn't even have to make Kiddush unless he has a family for whom he has to be motzi. And that would be okay. Now, the Beis Yosef says that even though really Mikra didn't, that's totally fine. You don't have to give it to kids at all and rely on this Shvacha Siraf of Shitos. But the minhag is to give it to kids. And this probably reflects the fact that we're not so convinced that the Gaonim are correct. We would prefer not to rely on the Gaonim. And therefore, it's only if there's no kids that we rely on the Gaonim and we tell the Mekadesh to drink a Revius. But if there are kids, so that's the preferable option, though that too isn't ideal, as we've seen.
Is that a Revius in addition to what he drinks for the Kiddush itself?
That's a machlokas. There are those who say, well, you don't need to drink a revius for Kiddush. You need to drink a mali lugma for Kiddush.
Yeah, I know. So,
the question is it a revius plus a mali lugma or two revios or just a revius? The pashup shot is it's just a revius. Nobody mentions that you need an additional revius until some of the later mefarshim, which are quoted by the Mishnah Bura. And we'll get to that position in a moment. But the pashup shot is it's just a revius in total. That's a simple reading of the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch, because they don't mention anything about an additional revius. So that's the approach of the Beis Yosef. If we turn to the Magen Avram, the Magen Avram thinks this is Sifkatan Aleph. Again, in Shulchan Aruch, we're in Simen Reish Samach Tes, Sifkatan Aleph. The Magen Avram says from the Maran that since it's an Isser Aseh, it shouldn't be relevant here, like the Hagos Maimonios. He liked that answer a little better. That's why it's okay to give the kids. He quotes the Bach, who says you could only give kids that are lo higia l'chinuch, little children. And the idea the Machtza Shekel explains is that if loy gil chinuch it's mutter lachilam biyadayim, we don't paskin that way. It's a very strange thing. I would have said that the reason why loy gil chinuch is better is for a much simpler reason. It's because there's no iser if they're loy gil chinuch. What do I mean to say? If they're not gil chinuch for Kiddush, then there should be no iser at all for them to drink kodem Kiddush. Because the iser to drink before Kiddush is from the fact that there's a mitzvah to be Mekadesh, or at least chinuch to be Mekadesh. If they're lo higia l'chinuch, so there's no problem. But the Magen Avram doesn't like the approach of the Bach. You can't give it to little kids because then it's a brach levatala. Because presumably if they're lo higia l'chinuch for Kiddush, they're lo higia l'chinuch for brachos, and therefore that is not a good option. So we should dafka find kids that are higia l'chinuch. Then the Magen Avram says, well, maybe because it's revise, in other words, it's for the growth, development of the tinok, then it's mutter l'hachilam iser biyadayim, if it's an iser that's talui bizman. In other words, you're allowed to feed your kids on Yom Kippur if they're minors. Nobody says, oh my goodness, why not? Isn't that sefinan? Well, actually, a lot of people say that. The Minchas Chinuch even says that the reason why you're allowed to feed a kid is because it's safek sakana. But we don't accept that. We don't accept that Minchas Chinuch. We think if a baby's crying 5 minutes after the start of Yom Kippur, you could give the baby a bottle, even though it's not a safek sakana yet, 5 minutes after the start of Yom Kippur. But, so what's the reason? So the reason is because it's an Isra Tali Bizman. In other words, it's not machalos asuros, it's heter food and azman iser. And therefore, the Magen Avraham says that the iser here is not as chamor. He writes, kol shekin, you're allowed to give your kids breakfast Shabbos morning before Kiddush. Why is that kol shekin? Because the Ravid says there's no iser to eat before Kiddush by Shabbos day. So combination of those five or six answers, the Magen Avraham allows you to give the kids Kiddush wine at shul. Fine. So that's easy to understand. But then the Magen Avraham raises a very important question. And this is a question that I don't really know a good answer to. The question that he says is, okay, there's no problem of safinan, but why isn't it a problem of dilma asi lemisrach? Why isn't it a problem of dilma asi lemisrach? So what does that mean? So that's based off of a Gemara in Erevin, a Daf Mem Amud Beis. The Gemara in Erevin has the following shaila. How should you make the Birkas Hazman on Yom Kippur? We make a Shachianu, and ideally the Shachianu should be made al hakos. That's why when we don't make Shachianu on Yantif when Yantif starts, we wait till Kiddush, and we make the Shachianu then. So Shachianu ideally should be made al hakos. So how could you do that on Yom Kippur? So the Gemara suggests a solution. Why don't we make Shachianu al hakos, and then we'll give it to a kid to drink? So the Gemara says, no, dilma asi lemisrach. We're afraid that even though this kid's going to eat throughout Yom Kippur, that's fine. He's eating on Yom Kippur because he's not chayiv in the tainis, and it would be dangerous for him to fast. But when we give him something and we say, you know, we want you to drink this for the mitzvah shabo, so then we're concerned that he'll get into that habit. He'll continue to do it after he becomes a bar mitzvah. And therefore, it would be usher to do that. And that's why our practice, of course, is that we make the zman on Yom Kippur without a kos. When we make Shachianu on Yom Kippur, we do it without a cup, because dilma asi lemisrach. So as the Magen Avraham, we should have the same concern over here. Every time you give this kos to the kid, every Friday night you give wine to the child is going to think that you're allowed to drink shelo b'makom suda. So why isn't that a concern? So the Magen Avraham says that it's okay, because since there are sometimes guests, so since it's l'takanaso sholtinok lo gazru, so there are sometimes guests in shul. There's not guests every week. When there are guests in shul, then what they're doing is perfectly okay. And even if it's a week where there's no guests, so there's no concern of dilma asi lemisrach, as opposed to, let's say, giving the kid the wine to drink on Yom Kippur, if you made zman al hakos, so then that would be a problem every year, and we're concerned dilma asi lemisrach. So that answer of the Magen Avraham doesn't work anymore, more or less, right? There are never guests that are eating in a shul, kimat never. And therefore I wonder why it's mutter to make Kiddush and shul anymore. Why aren't we concerned dilma asi lemisrach? So I didn't see anyone that addressed that question. But if there's one objection nowadays to making Kiddush and shul, to me, that would be it. But many, many shuls continue to make Kiddush and shul. So tzarch ian, why they aren't concerned about dilma asi lemisrach.
Is that more of a concern than the bracha levatala?
We solved that problem of bracha levatala. We solved the problem because we paskin that kach tiknu.
Oh, say so if kach tiknu, then the kind of...
No, but you can't be misakin to do an iser. In other words, that's why the Magen Avraham wasn't bothered by the problem of bracha levatala. He was bothered by it because he held the Rashba. He cited the Rashba that kach tiknu. He's only bothered by the problem of dilma asi lemisrach. Here, if you wanted to be mekayem the takana, so then figure out a better solution. Have the katan drink a revius. or have the adult Mekadesh drink a Revius. It's not like there's a way to be Mekayim the Takana, so you still have to solve the problem of Dilma Asila Misrach. So Corona solved the problem to some degree because no shuls are giving out wine to the kids Friday night at Kiddush. So it's not something that's cool anymore. So then
maybe there's a guest in shul who nobody noticed.
I'm sorry?
Maybe there's a guest in shul who nobody noticed.
But the guest's not going to eat in a shul.
Maybe he will.
Ah.
I saw the Rambam's lesson is when he's describing why, when he's saying over this idea that it's a Takana Kvua, is he says it's the exact same thing by Chazar Neshat. Chazal weren't matzrich you to check if everyone in your shul knows Shmoneh Esrei by heart. They weren't matzrich you to check if anyone in your shul is an Oreach. They just said that you should, outside that there will be someone who doesn't know, or outside that there will be someone who's a guest, you should say it, in case someone's there. Hmm.
I certainly don't think that's what the Magen Avraham means, because then he doesn't need to answer the question. The Magen Avraham sounds like the reason why it's mutter is because there are sometimes guests, not because conceivably there might be guests. Here, let me look at the Lashon of the Magen Avraham. One second. Reish Samach Tes Aleph. The lashon is like this: Va dimit taminam lahu bekiddush velo gazrin. Or I guess started before. Velo chashin and delma asila misrach de bedaver shula takanaso shaltino lo gazru. Va dimit taminam lahu be vaha dimit tamin de. Mat imin lahu bekiddush the logazrinan, hainamishom de lav milsa de kviusahu, de zimnin de ika orachin the lo safi lahu. So, since occasionally you don't give it to the kid, it's okay. Right? That's what Tosis writes in Erevin on Daf Mem Amud Beis. That it's only a problem of safinan if it's a milsa de kviusa. So, he says, Zimnin de Ika Orchin. I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but it doesn't sound like that to me. Sounds like that's a real... A,
in Gansin, Zimnin de Ika Orchin.
No. But no, nowadays, there's never Orchin that eat in shul Friday night. Orchin get invited to the people's houses. Anyway, okay. Maybe what you're saying is good enough to be Miyashid the Minuk.
Sorry, could one perhaps say that Dilma Asa Lemisrach only applies when the Maisa is inherently a Maisa of Isur, like drinking on one Yom Kippur? Whereas since there's a possibility there might be a Maisa Heter, namely when they're Orchim, so therefore the Maisa itself is not branded as a Maisa of Isur, therefore Dilma Asa Lemisrach wouldn't apply. Does that
suggest that? But that's not what the Magen Avraham is saying.
Uh-huh.
Now, once we're on this topic of eating in shul, so Tosas brings up another issue somewhat parenthetical, but we'll, since it's discussed over here, we'll mention it, which is, how is it possible to for the Orchim to eat and drink in shul? Doesn't it say in the Gemara in Megillah that eating and drinking and sleeping in shul is aser? So let's take one step back and before we see his answer, which is, what is the basis for these restrictions of eating, drinking, and kalas rosh and the like in a shul? So there's a machlokas harishonim, whether this is a din de oraisa or a din de rabbanan. According to the Yireim, it is a din de oraisa. The pasuk says the areisa melokach. The pasuk says eshav sosei tishmoru mikdashi tirau, a mitzvah of mora mikdash, and that mitzvah applies in a shul as well. Why? A Beis HaKnesses is also called a mikdash. The Taras Kohanim says over there, and this is quoted in that Gemara in Megillah, that the sanctity of a Beis HaKnesses applies even if the shul is destroyed. And a kotza pasuk, v'ashimosi es mikdash sheichem. And that implies that it has a shame mikdash even after it's destroyed. Now, even though the pasuk says mikdash, the Gemara applies that rule to a Beis HaKnesses as well. And therefore, you see that the Gemara treats a Beis HaKnesses as a mikdash. The Gemara in Megillah quotes the famous pasuk in Yechezkel that refers to a shul as a mikdash me'at. It's not the pshuto shul mikra in that pasuk, but it's the way Chazal understood it. Vehi lahem le'mikdash me'at be'artzos asher bo sham, which is a reference, the Gemara says, to a Beis HaKnesses, elu bate knesios ubate midrasho shebibavel. And therefore,
what is the pashup shot?
If you look at the Radak there, he also tries to shtup in shul. I assume the pashup shot is that I, God, will be for them a mikdash ma'at. In other words, it's not referring to a Beis HaKnesses. Doesn't say anything about a shul. I'll read you the whole pasuk. L'chaim ko amar Hashem, Elokim, ki yirchaktim bagoyim, v'chi afitzosim ba'aratzos, ve'hi lahem l'mikdash me'at ba'aratzos asher ba'usham. Whereas I, God, shall be a mikdash me'at. But Chazal understood it's referring to the Beis HaKnesses. So, and the Beis Medrash, at least in one interpretation in the Gemara over there. So that being the case, we treat a Beis HaKnesses like a mikdash, and according to Rambam, that's a din de'oraisa. So therefore, just like there's a din mitzvah de'oraisa of mor mikdash, there's also a din de'oraisa of morah Beis HaKnesses, as it were. The Smak says a similar thing: lira mikdash dechsev u'mikdashi tira'u u'vizman hazeh. Beis HaKnesses mikdash mat. It's actually quite interesting. From the Smak, it sounds like it's a din bizman hazeh. In other words, in the absence of a real mikdash, then a Beis HaKnesses has a din of a mikdash mat. And memela, there is a din of mori mikdash in the Beis HaKnesses. Implying that if there was a Beis HaKnesses bizman abayis, if there were such things, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that sounds like there were. So maybe for the Smak, it wouldn't have had a din mikdash. But anyway, that's the view of the Smak and the Yireim. Other Rishonim, the Ramban explicitly in Megillah assumes it's a din de Rabbanan, probably the Ramban there as well. There's a different machlokas over there in the Ramban and the Ran, what the basis of the Kedusha is. But that's not L'in Yanenu. Other Rishonim also apply, by the way, the din of mikdash to a shul for other mitzvahs. The Mordechai writes that because Beis HaKnesses is called a mikdash me'at, so if asur lintotz davar mi Beis HaKnesses, right? Just like if your notates even min ha'hechal u'min ha'mizbeach, you're over on a lav, then itatz dem es mizbechosa lo sasum kein l'ashem lokechem. So too, that would apply for a shul. And the Rambam in the Minyan Mitzvos also says that, lo tase samachay, but he doesn't quote it in the Mishnah Torah or in the Sefer Mitzvos, so I'm not sure about that. Anyway, b'kitzur, we have a machlokes, everybody agrees that that you have to have reverence for a shul. According to some Rishonim, that's a din d'oraisa. According to other Rishonim, it's a din d'rabbanan, but certainly it's true. And the Gemara in Megillah tells us this includes many things, like not eating, not drinking, not sleeping, and certainly not kalas rosh. The truth is that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes that even for those who hold that it is a din d'oraisa, that would be for kalas rosh. Achila v'shtia isn't an iser d'oraisa l'kulei alma. But be that as it may, certainly l'halacha, it's aser to eat, drink, and sleep in the shul. And therefore we have a question, because our Gemara says that the guests used to eat, drink, and sleep in a shul. So how is that permissible? So one possible solution would be to say, well, maybe this is taking place in Bavel, and the Gemara in Megillah says that the Bate Knesios in Bavel were made Al Tanai. And Rashi over there, Megillah Chaf Ches Amud Bey, says Al Tanai means Al Menas Shiyishtamshu Bahem. So it sounds like from Rashi that they made the Bate Knesios Al Tanai that they be used. And therefore, if you learn the Gemara like Rashi, then there's no problem. The reason why the Aniyim could eat, drink, and sleep in a shul is because the Bate Knesios were built Al Tanai. However, Tosus does not like that interpretation of Al Tanai. The reason is, among other things, he says, because there's a story in the Gemara in Megillah. It's talking about a base Knesses in Bavel, presumably. Some of the Amoraim, they were walking around outside, they were talking and learning, and then it started pouring. So they went into Shul. And this is a story of Ravina and Ravada Bar Masna. And they explained, why was it mutter to go into the shul? You're not allowed to go into a shul to protect yourself from rain. And the answer is, Mishum deshmaita bites lusa kiyoma distinct. You have to have a very clear head to focus on a halachic question, and they were focusing on a halachic question, so it was mutter. But otherwise, it would be also to go into the shul to protect yourself in the rain. Now, that was in Bavel. And if you held batik nasios are built al tanai, so then why was it usher for them to enter the shul? Says Tosus, you see from here a very important principle that the Tanai doesn't work when the base Bate Knesios are built. The Tanai only works when they're destroyed. Once the shuls are destroyed, at least some of the restrictions that apply following destruction don't apply in Bate Knesios Shebe Bavel. And that's why Tosus says it's Afka Bavel, because you know, we're hoping to go up and leave those shuls and chutz la'aretz and go back to Eretz Yisrael, so they'll remain in destruction. Tosus asked the question, well, doesn't it say that the shuls are going to go up to Eretz Yisrael with us? Ayin sham. But what's relevant to us is that according to Tosus, the Tanai does not help one iota when the shul is around. When the shul's around. Now, by the way, what would Rashi say to Tosus' kasha? Rashi said that they are built al tanai, you can use them, so why didn't they go in to protect themselves from the rain? So the Or Zeruah explains that it was a midas chasidus, and achanami, they could have gone into the shul to protect themselves from the rain because it's al tanai hinasuyin, but they were machmir on themselves, and that's why they said that they're only going in because shmaita bites lusa. But anyway, again, so how does Tosus explain how the guests, the aniyim ate, drank, and sleep in the shul? So Tosus answers, they didn't. There were side rooms. They didn't actually eat and drink in the shul. They ate and drank in the social hall or the side rooms. Then he says, well, one second, how does Kiddush work? Don't you need Kiddush Makom Suda? So Tosus says, well, I have this theory that if you have Das, and we'll get to that theory in one moment, then Makom LaMakom, there's no Chisaron of Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So Tosus answers that the Aniyim didn't eat, drink, or sleep in the shul. They ate, drank, and sleep in the social hall. And Rashi would say, no, since it's al tanai, it's mutter. The Ramban, and this is also cited by the Ran in Megillah, has a middle view. He says that Rashi is right that a tanai works even when the shul is around, but the tanai is only machmas dochak. In other words, you can't rely on the tanai unless it's a real need. I'll read you the Lashon of the Ran. Lefikach pirish haramban zal, shal tanai hein asuyos, hainu le'inyan, shim hutzrichu anshe ha'ir la'chil bahen aniyim, o la'shkivam, sham mutter. The tanai was that if they're really necessary, you could allow aniyim to eat or drink or sleep in a shul. V'odin l'chol tzarchi aniyim lefisha, it has to be temporary. Ukeda aminan, and he brings a raya from our Gemara that the aniyim used to eat and drink in the shul. V'chein chachamim mutam lahanos bahen, as we'll get to in a moment. As long if it's makom dachok, letalmidim. Aval shelo b'shas hadchak, it's aser. And he proves that from the story of Ravina and Ravada, that they didn't want to go into the shul because of the rain. Rain isn't such a shas hadchak. So you get a little bit wet. Big deal. That's not a shas hadchak. It was only because Shmaita Baitzlusa, that Daita Tzluya, that they were able to enter the shul. So again, we have three views. According to Rashi, Tanai works, and it's okay for Aniyim to eat in the shul. According to Tosis, Tanai doesn't work, and Aniyim cannot eat in the shul. According to Ramban, Tanai works b'shas adchak temporarily, and therefore Aniyim could eat in the shul. So those are the three views. Parenthetically, how do we paskin? This was a very tricky question for me back when I became the rabbi at Chenk, because even well before I became the rabbi at Chenk, they were already eating kiddushes in shul and shal shudis and even other things which shall not be named. And therefore, the question is that permissible? So there's actually a couple of issues, the psak. The Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph, this is Simon Kuf Nun Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch writes that when it comes to a base medrash, Talmidei Chachamim v'talmideihem mutarim le'achol v'lishtos bahem midochak. So that's coming from the Rambam, that midochak you could eat in a beis knesses, but not berevach. In other words, let's say, the only place to eat lunch is in the beis medrash, otherwise you'd have to go home, would waste a lot of time. But the Rama is more makel. The Rama writes that the beis hamedrash, afilu shalom midochak shari. So we're makel. That's why halachal maisa. Lots of people in the YU-based medrash, they drink coffee and other things. I won't say that they eat anything because that's against the rules. But at the very least, they drink. What are they relying on? They're relying on the Ramah that says it's mutter even shalom idochak. For the Rambam and the Mechaber, that's less clear. Now, the question that the Gra asks is, one second, what about maisa de Ravina? In other words, if it's mutter shalom idochak, why didn't they go inside when it was pouring? So the Gra answers, because that was a beis haknesses, not a beis medrash. Even though the kedusha of a beis haknesses is less than a beis medrash, but still, since the beis hamedrash is what the Gemara calls beis de Rabbanan, it's the house of the Rabbanan, it's where they live, beis hamamish. So therefore, we're more makel to allow for things like eating and drinking and napping in a shul, in a beis haknesses, because it's the home of the people that live there. That's their home. So you'd eat, drink in your home, so you could eat and drink in the beis hamedrash. Whereas beis haknesses, that's not permissible. And therefore, the only reason why they're able to go into the shul because of the rain was because Shmaita Baitzlusa. It's interesting because then the Gra quotes the Ramban. The Ramban himself doesn't give that answer. The Ramban writes, it's still only mutter machmas dochak, and isn't machalik between the beis knesses and the beis medrash. So it's interesting that the Gra sort of conflates that. But that's already very significant, because what the Gra is telling us is that we probably hold like the Ram and the Ramban, even though that view isn't cited in the Shulchan Aruch. And in fact, if you look at Sif Yud Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Tosfos, that Tanai doesn't work at all. Rama doesn't say anything, but you already see from the Gra that at least the Rama thinks that we probably follow the view of the Ramban. And therefore, machmas dochak, you could eat in a shul, and more importantly, in a base medrash, even shalom machmas dochak, you could eat and drink. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Simen Chelak Aleph of Archaim, Simen Mem Hei, the question that he's immediately dealing there is not so relevant to us. He's talking about seeing eye dogs in a shul. But what is relevant to us is he raises a very interesting question, because he says, look, all the shuls, now at least this is true in the shuls in the Lower East Side or the shuls in Europe, all the shuls, they have shal shudis in the shul, they have kiddush in the shuls, right? These shuls don't have social halls. So where do they eat shal shudis? In shul. So that's aser. That's aser. Certainly if you learn like Tosos, it's for sure aser. But even if you hold like the Ramban, it's aser. That's not such a big dochak. They could go home for shal shudis, right? Who says you have to have a kiddush for a bar mitzvah? That's not dochak. That's not shasat chak. So having a kiddush for bar mitzvah in shul is aser for the Ramban, It's also for tosvos. Shal shudasin shul. Even though tosvos allows a meal that's a mitzvah, that's dafka when the mitzvah has to, the meal has to be in the shul, like the suda after kiddush hachodesh. But he says if you learn like the Ramban or Tosfos, it would be aser to have a kiddush or shalosh shudas in shul. And he writes, kumidumani shebaharbe mekomos nogin lahakel af shelo b'shas adchak. So how is it that everybody does this, right? So how is it that people have kiddushes in the shul? So he says, imkein muchrochem lomar shenogim kirashi. Must be we follow Rashi and the Orzeruah that Tanai works even shelo b'dochak. Now then he has a problem because it's against the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. It's against the psak of all the Nosei Kelim. Nobody cites this. You look at the Mishnah Bura. We look at all the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch. Nobody cites Rashi. They don't bring this view down at all. How could he say we paskin against the Shulchan Aruch? So he writes very interesting thing. The Nimsa shenifsak ata kein lahalacha af im ulai rak bedoros achronim ischilu linho kein. Kemefurish berashi in Shabbos daf yud af b'mina kedas yachad b'mili deoraisa. And he says certainly in an iser drabanan. He assumes probably this is an iser drabanan, either because we don't accept the ireim or we accept like Rosh Shlomo Zalman that eating in a shul even for the ireim wouldn't be an iser deoraisa. And that being the case, so then what Rav Moshe is basically saying is that kol makom shalacha rofeves biyadecha zil baser minag. And look how powerful minhag is. Minhag allows you to follow a opinion in the Rishonim, even though it's not quoted lahalacha, and even though it seems to have been a later day development, l'chol apachos for nesed rabbanan. So that's where Moshe says. Moshe says basically the minhag is like Rashi. Obviously, if you could avoid that, you should. I asked Rabbi Willig what he thought about this question. Rabbi Willig got a different vart. He said, no, how could you pass him like Rashi? No, nobody accepts Rashi. The pshat is that the shuls aren't a shul. If you have a shul and you know they build the shul and they're planning to have shal shudas in the shul or kiddush in the shul, it's not a shul. It's a multi-purpose room that they happen to daven in. It's not a tanai. Rashi says it could be a shul and still it's mutter to eat there. That's what a tanai. This is just not a beis hakneses. So people that daven in that room don't have the mile of davening in a beis knesses. He pointed out, for example, in his shul, in the Young Israel of Riverdale, so the Ashkama minyan davens downstairs. So they get maybe other milas, like they get the Kriya Shema Bizmana of the Magen Avraham and Rizin Makdivin, but they're not davening in a Beis HaKnesses. Then said, so if, you know, you have to make sure there's a mitzvah in the city to build a Beis HaKnesses. You have to make sure that at least there's one shul in town that they don't eat in the shul. Otherwise they haven't fulfilled that mitzvah. So that's very well thought. Okay. Anyway, let's get back to our topic. Our topic really is the question of Kiddush Makom Suda. And let's talk about some of the halachos relating to Kiddush B'Makom Suda, other than this issue of Sfiyah. So we're running late and there's so many things I wanted to talk about. I'll just make a ha'ara over here. The Rashbam in Dibur Maschil Yedei Kiddush, and we pask in this way, Lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch Reshayin Aleph Yud Dalid, says that even though you don't have to drink from the wine to be Yotzei, L'chatchila, a person should drink from the wine. Everybody should drink from the Kiddush wine. That's mitzvah min ha'mofchar. And this is Paskin Lahalach, as they said in Shulchan Aruch. There's an interesting question whether that's a din dafka, a special inyan by Kiddush, or it's true for any kosher bracha. The Beis Yosef and the Tur, the Rush, assume that this is equally true for other kosher bracha. For example, the halacha is also Paskin in Simen Kuf Tzadi Sif Dalet by Birkas HaMazon Alakos, and everybody should drink from it. It's not just a skula. And for other kosher shel bracha, Rashbam, it's not clear. There's certainly one could make the case, and this is a bigger topic, but I'll mention it briefly now, that drinking in Kiddush is more significant than drinking in other koso shel bracha. Now, what basis do I have for that? So it actually brings us back to that Rashi and Eruvin that we talked about before, when the Gemara is talking about making the Birkas Hazman ala kos. So the Gemara over there asks, Leisve Leonuka, why don't you just give it to a kid to drink? And Rashi explains over there, Dehai Sheyitom de Ke'amar, Lav Dafka Ke'amar Mevarich. In other words, it's not necessary for the Mevarich to drink. Du Adin Kishasi Achrina. Somebody else could drink as well. The time of Mishum de Gnaihu Lakoshel Bracha, Shelo Yehane Adam Mimenu La'altar. It's a Gnai for Koshel Bracha if nobody drinks it immediately. Shate Birkas Ayayin de Bar Priyagafen, Shelo Latzorech. Now, this is a very interesting question, because you would have asked me, why do you have to drink? Let's say you make Kiddush al HaKos. Well, let's not say Kiddush, we'll do the example. Another mitzvah al HaKos, like Zman al HaKos, or Bris Mila al HaKos, or Birkas Erisin al HaKos, right? Why do you have to drink the wine? I would have said, because you made a Bari Priya Gafen, and if you didn't make the Bari, if you don't drink, then it's a Bracha HaShein HaTzricha. So that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says it's a Gnai LaKos al Bracha, to be, if nobody drinks from it. But it's not a bracha vatala, like if I just made a bari priya gafen stam and didn't drink the wine. And the reason is, presumably, because when you make the bari priya gafen, in this case, when you're doing a mitzvah a la kos, so it's not a regular bari priya gafen. It's part of the whatever you're doing, Kiddush or Mila or Birkas Hamazon. So it wouldn't actually be a Brach Shein HaTzricha. It's not the regular old Bari Priya Gafen. However, it's still wrong not to drink because of the idea of Gnai L'Koshel Bracha. That's what Rashi says. The problem is that there's a Rashi in Rosh Hashanah, Chav Tesma base, it doesn't sound that way. Rashi there is talking about Kiddush. And he writes, "She'ein bos ella lefi shehamivarich tzarch shiyitom v'yesh below bracha." So there, Rashi sounds like that you do, as opposed to Rashi and Ervin, that the Bari Priya Gafen is a chelak of the kiddush, as it were. It's not just a regular old birkas hananin. Here in Rosh Hashanah, it sounds like the Bari Priya Gafen of Kiddush is a regular old Birkas Hananin. So what's the Yishuv? So one approach is, and again, we'll see more of this as we go through with Halachos of Kiddush, but this approach is given more or less by the Alter Rebbe and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which is that actually the Bari Priya Gafen in Kiddush is different than the Bari Priya Gafen on other Koso Shel Bracha. And that might be because you're going to be kovei suda al ayayin. So therefore, it's much more integral to drink the wine than it is for, let's say, birkas ha'eris in ala kos or birkas ha'mila ala kos. And it's the chova is to be makadish al ayayin and to be toim the ayin. It doesn't have to be the makadish that's toim the ayin, but somebody has to be toim the ayin. It's not like other mitzvos, that it's just because of chashivas, because of gnai, that you have to drink. Here, that's part of the etzem din. And you see this in different halachos, for one thing, because we paskin, like the Gemara says in Psachim Kov Zayin, that Mekadesh needs to be toim a mali lugma, or somebody has to drink a mali lugma. If not, you're not yotze. When it comes to other things, like a birkas ha'erisin, right? If you don't drink a mali lugmav, it's not a big deal. That's most of the time, the chasen, the kala, or the misadar kedusha, nobody drinks a mali lugmav. Everybody takes a sip. Another place where you probably see this is in the Ramah, at the very least, in Taf Resh Chaf Aleph, in Or HaChaim, in Yoredei Resh Samachay Siv Dalet. What do you do when you have a bris on Yom Kippur? So you give it to the baby, the Ramah writes, to drink. So it's not a bracha levatala, even though obviously the baby is not chayiv in Birkas Hananim. But for Kiddush and Beis HaKnesses, we saw that we don't do that. Certainly, if you reject the Bach, we insist that you give it to a kid who's able to understand what a bracha is. And you can't give it to a little baby to drink the grape juice. What's the reason why that's different? So one way to explain this, this happens not to be the way the Magen Avraham explains it, but one reason why this would be, the simplest reason is what we're saying, that te'ima in Kiddush is much more fundamental than te'ima in other kosocial bracha. Okay, so back to some of the halachos of Kiddush Makom Suda, which we'll talk about briefly now. So the one halacha that the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Reish Ayin Gimel, Sif Gimel, is that you need to drink from the, you need to eat immediately after making Kiddush. This comes from the Maharil. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Kiddush V'lo Sad, Af Yidei Kiddush Lo Yatza Haga, that Tzarech Lechol B'makom Kiddush Le'alter. So what does Le'alter mean? How quickly is that? The notes that came on the Shulchan Aruch don't give a shir, including the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah just writes that you shouldn't wait afilu zman katzar. So is there a shir? I saw that the Dirshu note 13 quotes from the Yaivitz that it's a shir of chav beis amma. It's very quick. How long it takes to walk 22 amos? I don't know, 10 seconds? Something like that. You have to really move. Obviously, I think you wouldn't have to, you know, don't stampede to go wash, but certainly, according to that view, you shouldn't delay at all. It's not the right time to start with introductions of everybody after Kiddush before Hamotzi. And so wait till after Hamotzi to make the introductions. But yeah, I assume that being Osek and bringing the wine for Netil Siadayim would not be an issue at all. Rav Nissim Karelitz is a little more mako. He says it's a shir of Hesach Hadas, which I thought is more mistaber. I saw the Ben Ish Chai says it's shir ikol, but I don't understand why shir ikol would be relevant at all here. That's relevant for Birkas Hamazon, Bracha Achrona. But the point is that l'chatchila, you should move things along. Again, you don't have to be crazy, but you should move things along after Kiddush and starting the Suda. Now, one obvious objection to this is what we do at the Seder. What do we do at the Seder? We make Kiddush, and when do we start eating our Suda? Like 2.5 hours later, 3 hours later. So how is that okay? Why isn't that a problem? So, you know, if you, a lot of people drink a Revius at Kiddush, if they're drinking their whole cup, that's a Chumrah. So then at least they have the Gaonim. So it wouldn't be a problem. But Lamaisa, that's just a chumrah to drink a revius. You don't really have to drink a revius at the Seder. And plus, we don't like relying on the Gaonim. So is there a better answer to that question? So I thought the answer is very simple. The answer is that the Haggadah is Minyan Asuda. Why? Because you have to have Lechem Oni, Lechem She'onim Alav Dvar Marbe. And the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim relates to the Suda, relates to the bread. Matzah Zushanu Ochlam Al Shuma. We eat the matzah upon the telling of the story. And therefore, this isn't like Stam schmoozing between Kiddush and the bread, but rather, this is Me'inyan HaSuda. So the next question is, what about Mimakom L'Makom? You need Kiddush Makom Suda. What about if I make Kiddush in one room and then I eat my Suda in a different room? So the Gemara says that's a problem. The Gemara says Igra La'ara is not considered Kiddush B'Makom Suda. And Tosfos says that the same thing is true for Cheder L'Cheder. According to Tosfos, it's the same thing for, according to Tosfos, and this is a big Machlokas Rishonim, I guess we'll get to it next time, the same rules apply for Kiddush that makom l'makom b'chad bayis, cheder l'cheder chad bayis is a problem. The same thing applies to shinoi makom for brachos as well. If it's in one room, then it's okay. But from room to room, Tosis thinks it's a problem. But Tosfos Beis Sefer the Yerushalmi says that if you have das, then it works. So if I have kiddush in my kitchen and I have das to eat my suda in the dining room, or even on the roof, that would be okay. Beno Nisim goes even further. He says that Tanai works even, seems to say, from house to house. That view we don't accept. Not everybody accepts this idea of Tosfos and the Rush, the Ran, Rabbeinu David. They all hold that a Tanai doesn't work for Kiddush. And the reason is because, first of all, the distinction Tosfos says makes no sense. If a Tanai works, then it should work from Bais Labais. If a Tanai doesn't work, then it shouldn't work from Cheder to Cheder. Now, Tosfos would answer, no, that when you make the Tanai for Cheder to Cheder, that means the whole bias is your Makom Suda. But you can't say two batim are my Makom Suda. So that's why Tosfos would answer the Ran's Kasha. But Lamaisa, the Ran says it doesn't make sense. You need Kiddush b'makom Suda Mamish, meaning to say Mamish where you make Kiddush, that's where you have to have your Suda. And Das doesn't change anything. We paskin like Tosfos, but the Magen Avraham says you should be Choshesh for the opinion of the Ran, and therefore L'chatchila, you should definitely have Kiddush in the place that you're actually eating and not even in a different place in the same building. According to the Rav Sar Shalom quoted by the Tur, if you see the place we made Kiddush, that's good enough. So again, the Mechaber Paskins at Pina Lapina is considered Kiddush B'makom Suda. The Magen Avraham says, yeah, but you should be Machmir for the Magen Avraham. You should be Machmir for the other Rishonim, and therefore, ideally, you shouldn't rely on that. And therefore, if you didn't have Das, then Cheder L'Cheder B'Osur Bais, you'd have to make a new Kiddush. But we're Mekel if Roes Mekomo. So what does that mean? So very practical time this comes up is on Sukkos. How so? Let's imagine a person makes Kiddush in the Sukkah and then it starts pouring. Can they eat inside? The answer is if they had no Das, they can't. They'd have to go and make Kiddush again. Or if they made Kiddush inside because it was pouring and then it turns out it's not pouring anymore, they couldn't go outside. They'd have to eat something inside. At the very least, they should have a revius of wine. Now, there is a source that tells us that Bais LaSukkah isn't a problem. So Mordechai, but the Magen Avraham says that's only when your Sukkah is basically inside your house, not outside your house. The Levush says even if your Sukkah is outside of your house, it wouldn't be a Shinui Makom to go from Bais LaSukkah. We shouldn't rely on that, and therefore, but because we should be choshish for it, the best thing to do is try to eat something or drink something in your sukkah before you go inside, so you have no problem for Kiddush B'Makom Suda. Now, many Hasidim have the following minhag. It's a problematic minhag in terms of other reasons, but they make Kiddush in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres, and then they go eat the meal inside. So it's a problem because the Gemara says Yisvu Ve'Yisvina and Ruchelom Rachina Shemini Atzeres, you're supposed to eat in the sukkah. But we'll leave that aside for now. What about the problem of Kiddush B'Makom Suda? Isn't that Kiddush Lo B'Makom Suda? So that problem actually is easier to get around. Yerushalmi says explicitly the opposite case. Yerushalmi says back when they wouldn't eat in the sukkah in Eretz Yisrael on Shmini Atzeres, but they love their sukkah. So you make Kiddush in your house and then you go eat in the sukkah. It's pleasant weather. That's mutter. And that's okay because like we said, Mikra Adin, we Paskin like Tosfos, the Rush, that a Tanai works. So therefore, those Hasidim that have in mind to make Kiddush in the Sukkah and eat in their house, then Mikra Adin, that's okay, especially if you could see the house, it's even better. Let's just talk about one more question, which comes up, a very, very common question, which is, let's say you want to wash inside, right? Your sink's inside. Your Sukkah is, let's say, in the driveway, and your sink is inside. So is there a problem to make Kiddush in the sukkah, then go inside to wash and come back outside to the sukkah? Now, you do have in mind to do that. And we said before that cheder l'cheder with das doesn't work, and maybe we could treat sukkah like cheder l'cheder. But here it's a little less pashut because you didn't even, you left immediately. In other words, we said before that you have to eat immediately after Kiddush. And what's the halacha if you left between the Kiddush and the Achila? And let's say, let's make things worse. Let's say that you can't see your sukkah from your house. So what about that case? So the Magen Avraham in Sif Katan Hay writes that im yatza mimakomo beintayim tzarech lekadesh. In other words, even though you came back to your makom su'uda, since you left it, you have to make a kiddush a second time. So under what circumstances does this apply? This is a big machlokas, as the Bir Halacha on Sif Gimel notes. According to the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch Rav and other achronim, it means that even if yatza ba'ones, in other words, let's give a different example. I make kiddush, and then I run outside because something happens outside, and I leave my house, I run outside, and then, oh, everything's okay. 10 seconds later, I run back inside. So according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, you'd have to make kiddush again. According to the Shiur Knesset HaGedola, it doesn't sound that way. It doesn't sound that way. Because the Maisa, since in the end of the day your Kiddush was B'makom Suda, it's totally okay. And he had to come back, because otherwise it would be Brachal Vatala. So it's like Dvarim Shetun and Bracha Acharim B'makoman. You had to come back. So B'mele, it should be Kiddush B'makom Suda. So the Bir Halacha says, maybe everybody would agree that if you left Machmas Ones, then you wouldn't have to make Kiddush a second time. So better not to rely on that, but maybe Mikared and everybody would agree. So that being the case, somebody who walked inside the house to wash could walk back outside and have their meal. It wouldn't be Kiddush Shelo B'Makom Suda. And certainly if you could see, and certainly if you had Das. So there's certainly what to rely on. But nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah does write that ideally you should try not to leave. You should try very hard not to leave between Kiddush and the Suda. And that being the case, therefore, there are those who are makbid to dafka in a case like that, to wash inside the sukkah. The Dirshuno 15 quoted from the Chazon Ish and others make sure to wash Netilas Yadayim in the sukkah under those circumstances. We talked briefly about what's considered a suda, as we mentioned before. The Rush sounds like suda means dafka sudas pas. In other words, Kiddush B'makom Suda means a suda that your yotze, your mitzvah, shal sudos in, which is pas. But the Gaonim say revius of wine is enough. The Beis Yosef says the Rush might agree to the Gaonim, though it's not the simple reading, but it's mistaber, because the Torah quotes the Gaonim, and he would have noted that if the Rush argued with the, he would have cited that his father disagrees. But Rabbi Yeager points out that certainly Rabbi Yona doesn't think it's enough. Rabbi Yona thinks that even Mizonos probably isn't enough. And therefore, Mikra, didn't we follow the Gaonim Shita? So a revius of wine is enough, and certainly a kezias of Mizonos would be enough. However, and that's mutter. There are others who say you should be machmir, because the simple reading of the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yom and Tosfos is that you need daf kapas. But the Velt is makel, obviously, though they say in Maaseh Rav the Gra was machmir. The Velt is makel. The Velt goes ahead and makes kiddush even without washing. Certainly for Mizonos. Mizonos is more room for leniency than just a revius of wine. But Rabbi Shechter says it is the reason why they're makel is betoras fake sveka. A, they only do it during the day, right? That's why ideally at night you shouldn't, like we saw by Kiddush at Shul. And it's a fake sveka. Maybe the Ravid's right that there's no iser to eat before Kiddush by day. And even if he's wrong, maybe the Gaonim are right that you don't need a sudas pas. And therefore, since it's based off of that sveik sveika, then you should make sure to say Kiddush again at home. You shouldn't do it Friday night. And B, you should make Kiddush at home. You should make Kiddush at home again, even if everybody already ate in Shul. You should make Kiddush at home, because otherwise then you're only relying on the Gaonim. Whereas if you make Kiddush at home again, then you have the Ravid Shita as well. All right. Well, there's more to say, but I think we'll stop here. And Be'ezras Hashem, pick up Thursday at one.